You're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Our program is produced weekly in sunny Sarasota, Florida at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station. Listen live on the radio, on the internet, on your smartphone, or at your convenience through our downloadable podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com.
Our mission is to support our listeners in growing empowered families that create empowered communities. Each week, we bring you evidence-based information for your journey through the childbearing years. We do not give medical advice, and with all subjects, we suggest that you thoroughly research your options and speak with an appropriate expert with whom you have a relationship of mutual trust and respect.
The voices you'll hear in the next hour belong to the Maternally Yours Collective and our guests, and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of this radio station, its board of directors, or station management. The conversation may include descriptive language or emotionally sensitive subject matter. We respect all families and understand that it is up to each of us to make the most informed choice possible. We are Maternally Yours.
We are Maternally Yours.
We are Maternally Yours. Welcome to the conversation.
Welcome to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. I'm Dana King, domestic goddess and mama to Elliot. Tutu and multitasker. Hello, hello. Mama to Elliot, maternal mental health advocate and cesarean education supporter. Tonight we are welcoming a very special guest host whose voice you are sure to recognize. Allow me to introduce Cheryl Kindred, owner of Sarasota's only doula agency, Maiden to Mother. Cheryl is a birth doula, postpartum doula, educator, community builder, and a mother to three children.
She still can't believe that one.
Shocking, right? All the times you sat in this chair. One child, two child, three children. And so she's also, as you know, longtime listener, she's also a Maternally Yours original gangsta. So happy to have you here, Cheryl. Welcome home.
Thanks. It's nice to be here on the side of the table across from the controllers and the scary buttons.
I remember feeling scared of the scary buttons, and now I like sitting back here, so go figure.
It's been a long time, you know, like back on the saddle. I don't know, that first time, that'd be scary.
Amen, amen. So in addition to hearing us live on WSLR each and every Tuesday, you can hear us on Wool 91.5 FM in Bellows Falls, Vermont, KPOV 88.9 FM in Bend, Oregon.
And you can listen on WCRS 102.1 and 98.3 FM in Columbus, Ohio, the Detour Network in East Tennessee, and Geneva Community Radio in the Finger Lakes region of New York State. Check out your local listings for our time slot, and as always, find us online at maternallyyoursradio.com or iTunes.
And now here's some
birth in the news.
Dun dun.
Dun dun dun.
That was great. Oh, we're having too much fun, everybody. Here we go. So according to a major long-term study, breastfed babies are more likely to turn into well-educated and higher-earning adults. Researchers in Brazil have followed nearly 6,000 babies from birth for the past three decades, enabling them for the first time to get an idea of the long-term effects of breastfeeding. Nearly 3,500 of them, now 30-year-old adults, accepted an invitation to be interviewed and sit for IQ tests for the purpose of the study. Those who had been breastfed proved to be more intelligent, had spent longer at school, and earned more than those who had not been. And the longer they were breastfed as a baby, the better they tended to be doing. It is already known, common knowledge, that breastfeeding can increase a child's IQ by a small amount. The question that doctors in Brazil wanted to answer was whether this translated into greater intelligence and better prospects as an adult. This study provides the first evidence that prolonged breastfeeding not only increases intelligence until at least the age of 30 years, but also has an impact both at an individual and societal level by improving educational attainment and earning ability. In analyzing the results now published in the Lancet Global Health Journal, they took account of family income at birth, parental schooling, genomic ancestry, maternal smoking during pregnancy, maternal age, birth weight, and type of delivery to try to avoid any of those factors skewing the results. What they found was that all breastfed babies had greater intelligence as measured by a standard IQ test, had spent more years in education, and had higher earnings. But the longer they had been breastfed, the greater the benefits. Children who had been breastfed for 12 months had an IQ that was 4 points higher than those breastfed for less than a month, and nearly a year's more schooling, and earned about a third more than the average income level. There is evidence from other studies of the nutritional value of mother's milk, rich in long-chain polyunsaturated fatty acids that are essential for brain growth. Some studies have suggested babies with a particular genotype are more likely to get the IQ benefit from breastfeeding than others. Dr. Colin Mishi, chair of the Royal College of Pediatrics and Child's Health Nutrition Committee, said, quote, "It's widely known that breastfed babies are better protected against chest and ear infections, are at less risk of sudden infant death, and are less likely to become obese, but it's interesting to see the benefits of the breastfeeding for a prolonged period of time not only benefit the baby in the early years, but also translate into increased intelligence and improved earning ability later in life. It is important to note that breastfeeding is one of the many factors that contribute to child's outcomes. However, this study emphasizes the need for continued and enhanced breastfeeding promotion so expectant mothers are aware of the benefits of breastfeeding. Furthermore, once mothers have given birth, we must ensure that they are properly supported to continue breastfeeding for as long as they're able to."
Wow, that is the best new breastfeeding study in a long time.
And a huge one, huge.
Yeah, seriously. I really like that they've controlled it for a lot of factors, because often people want to really link that that increased intelligence to maybe mothers in a higher socioeconomic status,
right,
having better opportunities and support and being more likely to stay home. But they're saying from this study of 3,500 30-year-olds that that wasn't really a factor. So, wow. Well, also in birth in the news, happy World Doula Week.
Yay!
Yay! World Doula Week began with World Doula Day, which was Sunday, March the 22nd, and goes through March the 28th annually. March 22nd was chosen because it is the spring equinox, which represents the return to fertility in countless cultures. The purpose of World Doula Week is to empower doulas all over the world to improve the physiological, social, emotional, and psychological health of women, newborns, and families in birth and the postpartum period. The benefits of the presence of doulas in birth and postpartum include reduces the incidence of cesareans, may shorten the length of labor, reduced epidural and other pain medication requests, increases breastfeeding initiation and continuation long-term, increases mother's satisfaction of birth experience, can reduce the incidence of postpartum mood disorders, increases new parents' confidence in the care of their newborn, and more. Happy World Doula Week.
Yay! Happy World Doula Week, Cheryl.
Thank you.
So if you have some birth and news to share, send it to us by email at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com, or you can post it to facebook.com/maternallyyours. And for links to all of our birth and the news stories, please visit tonight's epilogue on our website at maternallyyoursradio.com. So tonight, everybody, we're talking about a subject, and everybody who has heard about this being a potential episode, Cheryl, has had their interest piqued, just yes, like Sven did when we walked into the studio.
Yeah.
He said, what? Home birth cesarean. What is that? What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
So home birth cesarean, everybody, it affects, just so you know, somewhere between 5 to 15% of planned home birthers, and is often shrouded in fear, mystery, and the unknown, and grief. Women who plan home births and end up birthing in the OR have previously had few, if any, resources to turn to in their recovery, not only physically, but also mentally and emotionally. And so, without further ado, we'd like to introduce tonight's guest.
Courtney Jarecki has worked as a full-spectrum doula, childbirth educator, and home birth midwifery apprentice before giving birth to her daughter. In recovering from a three-day home labor, hospital transport, then cesarean, she soon began creating a new model of understanding for planned out-of-hospital births that end in the OR in cesarean section, now known as home birth cesareans, HBC, a term she coined. Courtney is the author of two books about the home birth cesarean experience. The main book is titled Home Birth Cesarean, and the second is a workbook for cesarean mothers titled Healing from a Home Birth Cesarean. She is the co-founder and executive director of Home Birth Cesarean International, a 501c3 nonprofit that promotes awareness and support around planned out-of-hospital births that end in cesarean section.
Courtney, are you there? Can you hear us?
I am. Thank you for introducing me.
Yay. Welcome. Thanks for being
with
us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Us too. And congratulations, first of all, on the release of your books, which were released on, I think, the 16th, right?
That's correct.
Congratulations. That's a big, sort of like giving birth, big milestone.
Yes, except the labor was 3 years long.
Oh, yes.
Yowza.
Yep.
I'm just trying to wrap my brain around that statement. So, Courtney, you wrote this book because you saw a gap in care. Is that right? Can you explain this and describe what that gap is?
Yeah. So, just like you said in my intro, prior to the birth of my daughter, I was a midwifery apprentice and a postpartum and labor doula and a childbirth educator. So I knew about birth. And my experience as a birth professional allowed me to see that women who planned out-of-hospital births that ended in cesarean were deserving of a name, a unique name that described their experience. And they were deserving of special care. And they were deserving of resources and community that helped them heal. And so, you know, as a new HBC mom myself, I didn't have any of those resources. You know, my midwives couldn't help me. My birthy friends didn't have the answers I needed. And I was sort of just really alone and isolated, straddling the worlds of home birth and cesarean. But because of that professional background that I had, I knew that there were just thousands of other women like me and that I was going to, that part of my job was to kind of find those women and bring them together into a supportive community and create tools and resources for all our collective healing. So that was the gap that I saw.
Yeah, well, thank you for filling that gap. I've been awaiting your book and following, so I'm really glad to have been able to read it, to be able to have you here, and for that gap to be filled.
Thank you.
So home birth cesareans, you're saying that we need to differentiate home birth cesareans from other cesareans. Can you talk to us about the difference between a cesarean for someone who planned a home birth and a cesarean for somebody who maybe planned a natural birth in the hospital setting?
Yes. So I want to clarify before I answer your question that home birth cesarean refers to any planned out-of-hospital birth. So that could also be freestanding birth centers. And it also applies to cesareans that were scheduled pre-labor, so maybe due to baby's position or any kind of other risk factors that made even a vaginal birth in a hospital a little too risky.
Yeah, so a mom only really needs to have originally planned a home birth.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so there's a quote that opens up the introduction of the book that I'd love to read.
Yes,
and
please.
It's from an HBC mom, and her name is Jo, and she perfectly sums up the difference between an HBC and any other type of cesarean. So I'm going to read that now. She says, "My experience and the trauma I'm healing from are directly related to the fact that I planned an out-of-hospital birth and ended up at the hospital. I went from intimate care with a midwife to a hospital I had never visited and people I hadn't met. People who didn't know me at all. I went from client-first support to caregivers who had a strict set of rules that determined how they treated me. For many of us home birth cesarean mothers, we are dealing with more than the loss of a vaginal birth. We're struggling with a shattering of our expectations and identities." And so, you know, of course, mothers who are planning natural hospital births aren't immune to a traumatic birth. Mm-hmm. But
right.
The woman planning a hospital birth is prepared to be in the hospital and is more likely to have toured the L&D unit and taken a hospital-based childbirth class. So her reference point has always been to be in the hospital. And that's the huge distinction between the home birth mothers who end in cesarean and the hospital birthing mothers who end in cesarean.
So many things are swirling around my head right now. Yeah. I just got to take it one question at a time, Courtney, who do you think needs to be reading the book? Should it just be care providers like midwives, assistants, student midwives, doulas, mothers who've had an HBC?
Yes. So the main book, Home Birth Cesarean, really has two audience levels. The first is women and partners who have had a home birth cesarean and birth professionals. So though most of the chapters directly seem like they're speaking to the mothers, at the end of these chapters, we have kind of a summary. It's called the Birth Professional's Quick Guide that summarizes the main points of each chapter and the takeaway pieces. And, you know, certainly if a pregnant mom was curious about, you know, she was planning a home birth, but curious about the cesarean experience, this would be a really good resource for her. And then the second book, the workbook, is for any cesarean mom. And though that's really kind of directed towards the home birth cesarean experience, I've gotten some good feedback from non-HBC moms, cesarean moms, that they've found this workbook helpful as well.
So it's really all-encompassing, it sounds like, a helpful resource for many. Now, what about, like, first-time home birthers or hospital staff? Would this be a good resource for them as well?
Yes, absolutely. So the hospital staff, for sure, because a lot of the chapters, there's a couple of chapters that focus on, you know, what it's like for the mom and the birth team to enter into the hospital, and then how they're handled and how their care is treated, and then what it's like for them in the operating room. And so L&D nurses, OBGYNs, who are also interviewed for this book, you know, they can have a lot of take-home pieces as well to just understand where they're coming from, you know, coming from that intimate care, like Joe said at the beginning of the introduction, to people who didn't know her at all, who had to accept her fully in their legal and medical care without knowing anything about them. And then, yeah, first-time moms, you know, if definitely. Like, I think my hope is that both of these books are on every midwives and doulas and childbirth educators' bookshelf, and a mom, any mom who's pregnant, can come and browse the book and look at it and see if it's something that she wants to read.
Agreed. So that bit that you were saying kind of in the middle there about saying, you know, not knowing these women, like hospital staff not knowing these women, really leads into our next question, that there can be a non-traumatic home birth cesarean. What can home birth planning mothers tap into that possibility so that if they end up having a cesarean, it can be a non-traumatic experience if possible?
Yeah. So chapter 6 in the book focuses on the non-traumatic experience for moms. And there, one thing to start out with is there is no dividing line between women who will and won't experience an HBC as traumatic. You know, they can fall anywhere on the spectrum between deeply traumatized or just sad but accepting of the outcome. But with that said, prenatal planning is such a big component to helping moms prepare for the possibility of cesareans. And that kind of prenatal planning can take so many forms. And I think it really starts with birth professionals kind of self-assessing their own comfort levels about needing to transport a family to the hospital and what happens when they do have to have a cesarean. And then having open and honest conversations about cesarean with the families. And some other things to really help. Because what a lot of HBC moms talk about is feeling blindsided by the fact that they had to have a cesarean. They just never thought of that possibility. So normalizing the conversation about a full spectrum of birth outcomes, including cesarean, will really go a long way. Mm-hmm. To helping a mom hopefully not feel blindsided.
Yeah.
And that starts with the birth professionals own comfort and confidence when speaking about that subject.
Yes, because if you're afraid to like plant a negative seed,
right,
as a care provider, you just won't bring it up. And then it really could feel like that blindsided, like out of left field, because you didn't even really, your care provider never mentioned what that could be like.
Yeah, and that's a really big deal for moms, because it's so, I mean, late, especially for first-time mom, you know, labor is scary enough, because mm-hmm. you don't know what to expect. But then to suddenly, you know, need to leave home or the birth center and go to a hospital and then give birth in an operating room, that's hard to integrate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two tools that we offer in the book, Home Birth Cesarean, are kind of a schedule of prenatal topics for birth professionals. So it's, you know, it's a broken up into trimesters, and the birth professional can hand it to the family at the beginning of care so that they know the conversations that they're going to be presenting about cesarean, about mental health, about transport. And so that helps, you know, set the stage and that foundation of prenatally preparing clients. And then in Appendix A of the book is Plan C. So, you know, Plan A is the home birth. Plan B is the vaginal birth in the hospital. Plan C is the cesarean.
Huh.
And Plan C is just one of my favorite tools ever. And it is like a birth, you know, a birth plan that you would find anywhere online, except it's all about a cesarean. And this mm-hmm. isn't something that you give the hospital staff when you transport. It's really just for the clients. You keep it in their chart so that you remember the one or two things they may really want if they end up having a cesarean.
So what role can hospital care providers do to create a better experience for an HBC mom?
Yeah, so I think that's a really important question, and I'm glad you asked it. I think hospital care providers and, you know, midwives and doulas all play such an important role in creating the better home birth cesarean experience. You know, it starts at home and it ends at home, and in between is the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just read real quick a quote from in the book from Pam England, who's the author of Birthing from Within. You know, she's quoted throughout the book.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, when a home birther has a cesarean, the surgery itself is rarely the trauma. Usually there is some kind of disruption in a relationship that is the most disturbing aspect to the mother. Someone wasn't there, the midwife backed off, and now there's a painful connection with the natural birthing community. And that relationship can be with anyone, you know, along this journey, this home birth cesarean journey. So I think really what any kind of hospital staff member or birth team member can do is really acknowledge that the mother is brave and strong for making the decision to come to the hospital, and acknowledging that she probably feels grief or sadness about this, and doing that more than once. I think over and over that the mom is going to have to hear that. And something that the birth team can do is reassure the mom that they're still her care providers after the surgery, that their care does not end in the operating room, and they're still going to be there for them, you know, when they leave the hospital and the nurses and the doctors.
Great. Well, I love that you just quoted Pam England. It's like you're leading us into the next question wonderfully.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So our next question for you is that there's a big focus and a lot of birth prep, you know, childbirth education methods, things like manifesting, affirming, visualizing the desired birthplace, visualizing the outcomes, and sometimes even specific details, like visualizing a time, a date, a place of birth, a position, etc. How can these childbirth education methods be integrated into a really comprehensive discussion, with including information about, you know, mental health, about home birth transfer, and about home birth cesarean?
Yeah, so I mentioned the prenatal schedule of conversation topics, and I mentioned Plan C already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really the best midwives, doulas, and childbirth educators can do is to be really honest about the reality of transport and cesarean. while meeting clients where they are. Because that magical thinking that if you talk about cesarean, you're more likely to make it happen is real for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But the reality is talking about something doesn't actually make it happen. But I know firsthand what it means to not want to hear those kinds of stories when pregnant, because I was definitely a magical thinker. I didn't want those kind of negative being in quote, birth stories in my energy field. So I think birth professionals can acknowledge that could be a reality for a lot of moms, that they're afraid to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that it might feel scary, but normalizing their clients' hesitation or fears around these topics is just a part of providing holistic maternal care. You know, that kind of care follows the midwifery model of care, follows the doula model of care. And so reassuring clients that it may be difficult and that you know that they can handle this conversation is a great place to start.
Well, one thing that I, as a doula, like to do is say, once we've talked about this, you don't have to continue focusing on it, but at least then you have the information already.
Right. Yeah. Like you guys, you know, both said about planting the seed, and that's important to initiate that conversation, because, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, knowledge is power, right, Cheryl?
Yes. So. Yeah, then you have the knowledge in your back pocket,
right?
And then you can go back to maybe that manifesting exactly what you would like with the added, you know, cushion of just a little more knowledge, just in case.
And sometimes releasing that thought process is also therapeutic.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Once you say it, once it's been said or written down, then it's like you feel free of it and you can kind of transition on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
For this book, over 250 people were interviewed, which is the foundation of this book. And almost every home birth cesarean mom who viewed their birth as traumatic said that cesarean was the one thing they didn't want to talk about. They didn't read the chapter on cesarean. They cried during their childbirth class when cesarean was brought up. They just didn't want to deal with it. And so, like you said, it can be very therapeutic to talk about it. And also, I think birth professionals can just be very clear that they talk about cesarean and mental health with every client. You know, some moms can think that, oh, why is she talking about cesarean? Does she think I'm going to have one? So just right from the get-go, normalizing it is so important.
Yeah, and having that checklist that you use with everyone would go a long way in creating that reality of like, no, I make sure that we talk about this with everyone.
Yes, we talk about GBS testing, we talk about, you know, sitz baths, we talk about mental health. It's all normal and part of the care.
Yeah.
Yep. Talking about it is the way you take the stigma away, everybody.
For yes. Sure. Yeah. Dana knows a lot about taking stigmas away. She is one who is not afraid, thankfully, very, very thankfully, to talk about the, quote, scary topics.
Yeah, well, hey, there's a lot of them in motherhood, right?
Yeah.
And somebody's got to give a voice to it, else we're all sitting around twiddling our thumbs saying, am I the only one?
And, yeah.
You know, nobody wants to feel all by themselves.
Absolutely.
Courtney, is there anything, I don't know, I'm just thinking, like, from a personal perspective, like, how, maybe this is kind of a nosy question and it's just off the cuff, but, you know, how going through this 3-year process of writing this book and, you know, how did that transform you or change you and the experiences that you've had, you know, in your life as a mother, as a woman?
Yeah, well, I actually think about it was actually over a 3.5-year process, because my daughter, she turned 4 on April 1st.
Oh,
and
that's a great birthday. I'm on the 7th of April. Hey, Aries.
Double Aries.
Yes, in the house.
And so this work was incredibly healing for me. You know, I'm not sure where I would be in my healing if I didn't do this work. And I'm someone who really you know, the birth was really intense for me because I'm someone who, in my life, when I set out to do something, I succeed at it.
Right.
And I'm good at it. And then I move on to the next thing. And so, you know, when I planned and decided that I was going to have a home birth and it ended in cesarean, I was just lost. I mean, I didn't have my professional identity was shattered. My spiritual identity was shattered because I did believe that I did believe in magical thinking and I did believe I can create anything that I wanted in life. And then I had, so I had my professional, my spiritual, and just my own personal identity and who I was. So it was a huge, huge event in my life. And, you know, as the years go by and as I approach her, the anniversary of my home birth cesarean, it's really nice to look back and I can see the gifts of the birth. You know, I knew right away, well, pretty soon after the birth, that I needed to do something with this, that I couldn't be the only one to hold my story and that I needed to provide this platform for other people. But I wasn't sure what form that would take until about 8 months after the birth. And so this experience has really transformed me because I think ever since I was in college, and I'm 38 now, and so ever since I was 18 or 19, I always wanted to do something great, but I could never find the outlet for that. I wasn't sure what that meant. And so I feel like I found that, and I'm able to really do something that helps women and helps generations of women and helps me and my own family with my own healing. So it's really been a profound change. And that's a great question. Thank you so much for asking that.
Well, you know, it's been on the forefront of my mind for sure. You know, my son, I mean, you don't know, but my son just turned 4 yesterday, and I had an unplanned hospital birth cesarean, but it was, Courtney. Something must have gone awry with our phone connection, Cheryl. Well, I think that she will probably call back as soon as she has a chance. And the good news is it's right in time for our break. Hey, everybody, you're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. When we return from a short break, we'll continue the conversation about the new book, Home Birth Cesarean, with our guest, author Courtney Jaracki.
Programming on WSLR is made possible by support from our listeners as well as Sarasota's midwives who welcome babies gently and build community locally with Kathy Matthews Home Birth, Birthways Family Birth Center, and Rosemary Birthing Home.
Maiden to Mother will host a spring community mother blessing on Sunday, April 12th at 3:30 p.m. to celebrate, honor, and bless local mothers on their new journey into motherhood. A mother blessing ceremony is the modern day interpretation of the Navajo rite of passage called a blessing way and allows the modern woman to celebrate her growth along the path of pregnancy, birth, and into motherhood. For more information, please visit facebook.com/maiden2mother.
Birth is a significant rite of passage for women. Each pregnancy and birth is unique and offers us a range of experiences and emotions. We feel the struggles and joys of caring our children, laboring, birthing, and mothering. Rarely, however, do we find a space in which to really, truly, deeply share these profound and life-altering experiences free of judgment or agenda. ICANN of Sarasota gives you that opportunity and proudly hosts Birth Story Circle to be held tomorrow night, March 25th, at the Tea House, located at 1869 Fruitville Road at 7:30 p.m. Birth Story Circle is for all women, whether they've had cesarean or vaginal births, expectant first-time mothers to mothers who birthed decades ago, home birth, hospital birth, birth center, unassisted, free birth, and everything in between. We carry each story within us. Come share your stories and your wisdom, or just come and listen. No pressure. I love that.
That's right. We like to keep it pressure-free. The Abortion Diary Podcast is visiting Sarasota March 23rd through the 28th. It's not always feasible for people to talk to their family members, friends, or partners about their abortion experiences. The Abortion Diary Podcast is a space for all people to share their personal abortion stories and be listened to in a safe and supportive environment. The mission of the Abortion Diary Podcast is to create a support system and community for people who have had abortion experiences. People share stories that haven't been able to share and listen to stories they haven't been able to hear. This podcast is a space for both story sharing and listening, both of which present opportunities for healing, understanding, connection, and personal empowerment. If you would like to share your story in either English or Spanish, please contact Melissa at melissa@theabortiondiary.com for more information.
And for birth announcements. The Herreger's family, my dear friend Mariah and her husband Mike, welcomed their rainbow baby, a baby born after a pregnancy loss, Adelaide Violet, on February 23rd at 8:53 a.m., attended by midwife Kathy Matthews. Papa to big sisters and grandma got to witness their speedy water birth.
Oh, hooray. Mm-hmm. We love new babies. And for our milestones tonight, hey, Marian Maxson, who was on the show just a few short weeks ago as my co-hostess, just celebrated 5 cumulative years of nursing. You go, girl.
And Miss Ryan Stanley, much missed in this studio right now, says, I've been nursing Arbor for 6 weeks and he's gained 4 pounds since birth. I can just see her smirk.
Right. Yeah, I was up when I walked into the studio today.
He is one baby.
I'm telling you, that's what our station manager said. I saw the baby today and I knew exactly which baby he was talking about. Uh-huh. Would you like to announce the birth of a baby, a nursing milestone, or a family-friendly event? Please post to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maternallyyours, or email us at maternallyyoursradio@gmail.com. And for a complete listing of Sarasota's family-friendly events, be sure to pick up your copy of Mommy Magazine, found on news racks throughout the community. You're listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. You can find this and all of our recent podcasts on our website, www.maternallyyoursradio.com, where you will also find an epilogue including any resources and links we mentioned in tonight's show. So let's continue the conversation about home birth cesarean, Cheryl. So, Courtney, are you there? We lost you for a little bit.
Yes, I am. I don't know. My phone just disconnected. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. It's no okay. worries. That couldn't have happened at a better time. It was time for a break anyhow.
Totally good. Cool. Well, I really wanted to say to you right before we lost you, I really just love that you took something that you went through that was so deeply negative for you and really have transformed it into creating community for others. I love that you wrote a book that you needed. Like, you wrote the book you needed to have 4 years ago.
Yes. And yes, definitely. Thank you.
That's really a gift to so many, to so many. And I know that you're hearing that all over the place this past week or
right,
so.
Right.
But one more time, that's really a gift to a greater community.
Thank you.
Well, back to our questions. I want to talk about that transfer process. In many areas, including locally here, home birth midwives are sometimes unable to stay with a mother after transfer for a variety of reasons. This is one of the benefits of doula support for home or birthing center families. And how can the doula kind of come in and bridge that gap and provide that continuity of care? What can she do that's special, or what can she make sure to do or not to do to help that HBC mama?
Yeah. So, you know, even though I was a practicing doula when I was pregnant, I didn't hire a doula for myself during my birth because I believed that my midwives would be able to provide the emotional support I needed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when it was time to leave home, my midwives were taking care of the clinical and logistical aspects of transport because that's their job. And I was left alone without that emotional support that a doula could have provided. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, because doulas are not responsible for the clinical aspects of birth, they can be fully present for a mom, you know, while the midwives are tending the transferred aspects. And then, you know, if they can't go to the hospital, they can be that emotional support. And that's the key to helping with the home birth cesarean experience, is the emotional support. So, like I mentioned earlier in the show, you know, acknowledging the mother's strength, reassuring her that you'll be by her side. And there's something in the book called the 4 points of centering, and it's a tool that I teach in the home birth cesarean workshops that I lead for birth professionals. And so the four points of centering is something that a doula and midwives can use when a mom is experiencing her birth as difficult or traumatic. And it's all the basic things that we learn as birth professionals on how to support moms, but often we forget when we're in transition from birth center to hospital or prepping for cesarean or after the cesarean. We just sort of lose touch with that. Mm-hmm. And those four points of centering are just connection, you know, body language, vocal pacing. Then there's touching. So with the mother's permission, touching her leg. And sometimes if the mom is really in a serious stress response, like the fight or flight stress response or freeze, the doula or the support person may have to narrate to the mom that she's touching her. So, because the mom may not be able to connect and feel with that touch. So saying something like, I'm right by your side, I'm touching your leg, I'm right here, that kind of support. Mm-hmm. And then asking her questions is a third point of centering, just really simple, how are you breathing, what kinds of emotions are you feeling? And then the fourth point, which I think can be the strongest in a lot of situations and one that we tend to forget to do, is narration. Wendy Davis, she's the executive director of Postpartum Support International, it's a nonprofit, mm-hmm. Is quoted in the book as saying, if you've never gone through trauma yourself or you've never helped someone through trauma, you know, this kind of support may not come naturally. And that's what I was sort of talking about earlier. And so narration involves just calmly telling the mother exactly what's happening in the moment. So we are in the hospital considering cesarean. Your baby's heart rate is slow but recovering well. I'm standing next to you. I'm touching your hand. So that kind of narration can be such a simple, easy, but powerful tool for doulas to use in the hospital because we all need to know details about our environment to feel safe. And that's where that comes in.
Yeah, I mean, in a situation like that, you definitely need something to keep you centered so that you don't go into total shutdown mode.
Yes.
Something
to ground the energy a little bit just to kind of keep you there in that moment and able to make those decisions and able to kind of
feel involved. Exactly. Yeah, that lack of involvement with the cesarean is like a big trigger, a big issue for women for sure. Now there's a lot of fear and negative feelings toward, you know, home birth planning families and even home birth care providers when it comes down to it, really. Courtney, how do you think that this can be shifted toward a more positive outlook, and how can a more positive outlook also benefit expectant parents?
Yes. So now we're talking about one of my very favorite topics, which is changing the conversation around birth. So, you know, mothers, birth professionals, the natural birth community, mm-hmm. we all have the power to change the conversation about home birth cesareans and birth in general so that our daughters will see a stronger, more robust picture of what empowered birth can look like. And I really want to read this quote in the book. It's from an HBC mom. Her name is Jessica. And she says, I have such a strong desire for our experiences, and she's talking about the home birth cesarean experience, for our experiences to be included in the birth community as empowering. I feel like the movement against the medicalization of birth has gone too far the other way by labeling successful birth as a pure bliss moment, leaving no room for the pain and hardship that can and often do accompany birth. So maybe somewhere in the middle between this notion of a candlelit orgasmic birth and the planned C-section with a tummy tuck, home birth cesarean can be included. And so I love what Jessica's describing here, and it's something we are calling the middle way of birth. And it's really what home birth cesarean is all about. You know, it lies between that idealized home birth and the scheduled cesareans. Mm-hmm. And so bringing people back to this middle way allows everyone to be more open to their experiences, you know, whatever that may be. And it allows for a little more freedom in accepting different outcomes. And when we have that freedom, we have so much more flexibility and room to heal and love ourselves. And that freedom of experiences, I didn't have that with my experience. You know, I was a rigid home birther who believed cesareans were bad. And I ended up with one. So I put myself in that victim role, you know, years before I ever got pregnant. Right. And because I never considered the middle way. I just thought it was home birth or cesarean. And in between was all, you know, I didn't really think too much about it. But yeah, the middle way. I love that concept.
That's a fantastic concept. You know, I really like the way that you want to incorporate and include everybody in on the home birth cesarean movement, I guess, if you will, because, you know, that polarizing aspect of birth can be really damaging to women who wind up, you know, like you did, in the situation that they did not expect. You know, they're suffering and in pain as a result of it, and they feel ashamed.
Yeah, a lot of home birth cesarean mothers, I think, don't know where they fit. So it's good. Yeah. We need to create that, and we need to show them, like, no, you fit just fine. Yeah. You fit here.
Yeah.
You fit here. Because I think that's a big thing. All those negative birth feelings come from inside, but they can also come from outside. So we can really help and control that they're not coming from outside.
Right.
Yeah. My contributing author, Lori Mennick, she was one of the midwives who attended my birth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we collaborated on this book. And one of the things that she told me was, I went back to them about 8 months after the birth to give them feedback about their postpartum care and my experience of it. And she said, and she writes this in the book, that, you know, she sat across from me listening to me and just realized that no other home birth cesarean mother ever came back. They never gave feedback. They never attended the home birth potlucks. They didn't show up at the home birth community events. And she was starting to realize why. Because, you know, they felt excluded, whether it was excluded from their personal natural birth communities, or they just didn't feel like they deserve, you know, it was a personal thing. They didn't feel like they deserved to be there. And that's so important to, you know, how we curate the home birth story in our social media and our blogs and our websites is so important. And I think including the home birth cesarean experience is one of the base steps that birth professionals can start doing to share these stories, because they can be beautiful and they can be empowering and they can be really great, and they should be celebrated.
Yeah. Well, a lot of women don't feel like they can celebrate their unexpected birth experience if it's a home birth cesarean, and they'll say things like, it wasn't a birth, it was a surgery. They'll say, my body failed me, I couldn't do it, I was traumatized. My baby's birthday is the date of my biggest struggle. I don't even want to, like, celebrate his birthday. I want to pick a different date. I don't want to remember that. All of those variations and so many more are repeated over and over again by home birth cesareans, and it's really heartbreaking to see them experience that. Your book, your variation, your personal experience of that story really led to the creation, I think, of your book and workbook. So what advice do you have for those women who are really new into that big, raw, ugly, grieving, traumatic part of this?
Yes. So eventually, you know, my hope is that new HPC moms will eventually be able to celebrate. You know, it's definitely probably not going to be something they can do in 1 or 2 weeks. It could take years. And, you know, a lot of mothers are able to find the gifts of their home birth cesarean, kind of the legacy of their birth. And I want to read a quote. Let me just find it from the book. It's from a mom. Her name is Wendy. And here we go. She says, there is real power in finding your way out of the treacherous depths of soul-sucking pain. I was able to question my core beliefs about who I am and what defines me as a woman and mama. I learned to let go of many preconceived notions of how things should be and to accept and love my attempts, knowing the path is more important than its end. And I think that's a really great example of a mom finding the strength of her story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The
strength of her story. That's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like we've discussed, and you know, I think we all kind of know, you know, preparation makes a huge difference in the feelings and potential trauma afterwards. But there's another side to consider, the practical considerations of recovery from a cesarean birth, which is a major surgery, especially if it came after a long and exhausting labor. So what can families do to ensure a smooth postpartum experience for a home birth that turned cesarean, Courtney?
Yeah, good question. So it begins with prenatal planning. So there's the physical factors of recovery from major abdominal surgery, and then there are the emotional, mental health aspects of recovery from a difficult or traumatic birth. And that prenatal planning, you know, is should be initiated by the midwives and doulas and childbirth educators out there. And the birth teams can work with families to ensure that they have enough support and community. The family has enough support and community to help with the errands, the diaper changing, the driving, all that normal postpartum stuff that moms need help with. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to need much more help if they've had a traumatic birth or a cesarean. And then, you know, prenatally talking about the spectrum of perinatal mood and anxiety disorders and what those symptoms can look like, so that the mother's partner, if she's partnered, or main support person can start to look for signs if the mom is having postpartum PTSD because of the traumatic birth, or she has depression or anxiety. And all of these, any kind of resource, both local and national, mm-hmm. that a cesarean mom might need should be given prenatally. So, and then so that they know that those resources exist, and then they can be given again postpartum. And that's going to help normalize the rocky HBC postpartum experience. And mm-hmm. hopefully the goal is to free up women to talk more openly about things that are happening, whether it's incision problems with healing, or postpartum depression, or any other kind of mood disorders after birth.
Right. And what can you add about the role of the midwife in the, you know, easing of that transition, or the postpartum doula?
Yeah, in the book, I talk a little bit about, I write a little bit about how midwives and doulas aren't, you know, they're caring for incisions and after a cesarean is outside their scope of practice. However, they are usually the people, the care providers, who see the moms the most. Most of the time, a lot of HBC moms don't go back to the surgeon for their 2-week visit, so to visualize the incision. And it's kind of left up to the midwife to know if there's an infection, or if the pain level is within normal limits. And unfortunately, many home birth midwives and labor doulas and even postpartum doulas don't have a lot of cesarean education. And so they also, it's just not a topic, you know, it's definitely talked about, but it doesn't go in depth. So birth professionals have to do a lot of self-study in order to get that information. So I think that's where it starts, is with, like we started the show, you know, the birth professionals self-assessing their comfort levels with cesareans and being comfortable with looking at incisions mm-hmm. and knowing what an infection looks like. And then reading books, taking workshops, doing that kind of education that will help them feel very confident in saying to the mom, you know what, I think it's time to go to the ER. You've had a fever for this long. I'm seeing these clinical symptoms, and this is outside my scope of care. So let's go back to the hospital. Because that's a big call to make.
Yeah.
And midwives are often the ones who have to help moms do that.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the book. Now I want to talk about the companion, the Healing from Home Birth Cesarean Workbook. When you originally set out to write this book, did you think that you would also be creating a companion workbook, or did that evolve over time?
No, I didn't think I was going to create a workbook. It was actually someone else's idea, an HBC mom. She was like, you should create a workbook. I'm like, that's a great idea. And, you know, 5 years from now. But then as the book, this writing of the book slowed down, I was left with a lot of kind of time on my hands where I would normally have been writing and revision. I'm like, you know what? I should just write this workbook now. And so the workbook, I I develop these exercises based on some programs I lead through the nonprofit that I run. So mm-hmm. these exercises are based on things I've done at HBC Moms retreats and workshops for birth professionals. I teach those around the country. And so I've kind of crafted the workbooks through that experience. And so it was something, it was something that I've only worked on for in book form, the workbook, probably for about a year.
So are you hoping that it's used as a companion to the book or as a stand, or can it also be used as a standalone workbook?
So my hope is that it is used in conjunction with the main book, so that it is used as a companion book, because the workbook, it's six chapters mm-hmm. and it goes from exercise to exercise. And so a lot of information, there's explanation certainly about the exercises, but the in-depth understanding of why triggers happen, for example, mm-hmm. or, what it means to feel like you lost your initiation in birth because you had a cesarean. Those things, those concepts are really well explained in the main book. And so for home birth cesarean moms, I think it should be used as a companion book. To other cesarean mothers who didn't experience a home birth cesarean, I think it can be used as just a standalone workbook. And they'll have an easy time kind of skipping over the parts of each exercise that might have to do with something at home and just mm-hmm. focus on their hospital experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was going to be my next question. So thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah. So is the obviously workbook is meant to be done from, page 1, 2, 3, so on through the end. However, a workbook that's really delving into deep personal or potentially traumatic grief-stricken experiences may be a little bit different. Do you have any words of wisdom for somebody on doing and completing the workbook?
Yes. So in the introduction of the workbook, I talk about going really slow and at your own pace. And the mom who uses this workbook is going to learn some meditation techniques. She's going to learn some grounding techniques. But also one of the important first things she's going to be asked to do is to identify someone that she can call to talk to if she's feeling emotionally overwhelmed or triggered. And this person is going to be a trusted, safe person that she can say, and who knows the situation, and she can call this person up or, email them and say, look, here's what I'm doing with the workbook, and here's what's happening for me. And so having that support. And also, one of the things that I do through the nonprofit is I run a closed home birth cesarean Facebook group. And this group is adminned by a wonderful team of admins, and there's almost 3,000 members in it, and it's for both HBC moms and birth professionals.
Yowza.
And one of the initial
3,000, that's some mamas right there.
Actually, it's our 3-year anniversary. No, 4-year anniversary. Today or this week, I have to look on my calendar. I started the group when my daughter almost had her first birthday. Started the group.
Anyway, that's where I found out about you.
Well, there you go.
Somebody added me to the group.
So it's a fantastic resource, clearly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to help moms who are going through the workbook and reading the main book, we're mm-hmm. starting a program called HBC Reads. And starting on May 1st, mm-hmm. every Friday we're going to post kind of a conversation topic. And it's going to alternate weeks between the main book and the workbook just to help moms. If moms want to go through each exercise collectively and share their insights and, personal triggers, they can do that in a supportive environment. And it's a good way to have that, form that community mm-hmm. around this kind of experience, because writing or using a workbook can be isolating.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that's not what we want. We want to have a collective around it.
that's fantastic that you are that forward thinking. Well, unfortunately, we're about out of time, Courtney, but thank you so much for joining us. Can you tell our listeners where else they can find out about you and your nonprofit and to pick up copies of the books?
Yeah, so the website for HBCI, the nonprofit, is homebirthcesarean.org. And you can find us on Twitter with the handle HBCesarean, and the same with Instagram, HBCesarean. And both books sold on Amazon, and the title of the main book is Homebirth Cesarean, and the title of the workbook is Healing from a Homebirth Cesarean.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Courtney.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah. Have a great evening. Yeah, anytime, anytime.
Mm-hmm. You're a great guest.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Couldn't you just tell when she was smiling?
Yes, that was fantastic. Really good.
Some people are very nice to listen to.
Agreed. Well, everybody, that's it for tonight's episode. We'd like to thank everyone who makes the conversation possible, especially our listeners and our guests, Courtney Jarecki, as well as Maternally Yours alumni, Cheryl Kindred.
Awesome. I'm finally an alumni of something. Join the conversation next week, same time, same place, Tuesday, March 31st at 6 p.m., where Maternally Yours is talking about what it's like to be a mom and also be sexy on our Hot Mamas episode, where we'll be exploring cultural ideas about whether mothers are allowed to be sexy, what it means to be a role model, and how to gain body confidence. Have questions for our host or guest? Email or post to our Facebook page.
You've been listening to Maternally Yours, your conversation about pregnancy, childbirth, and early motherhood. Produced at WSLR 96.5 LPFM, Sarasota's community radio station.
Our volunteer hosts, writers, and producers are Ryan Stanley, Laura Gilkey, and Dana King. You can find our most recent podcast at maternallyyoursradio.com, where you can also contact us with your comments, questions, and stories.
Until next week, we leave you with the words of Dr. Maya Angelou. When you know better, you do better. Thanks for joining the conversation.